going to be reading from the book of Daniel chapter 1 and also Daniel chapter 3. Familiar verses of scripture. And just to set all the kids and teenagers' mind at ease tonight, I were one of you once, and I grew up in apostolic church, so when evangelists always come, you think, the biggest question is, how long does he preach? I know nobody thought that tonight. Well, I'm starting my timer right now, so. And I try to, when I get to about 30 minutes, Pastor Worth, I try to either crash it or land it. That's, amen. I just want God to meet with us tonight. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 8. And the setting here in Daniel, the book of Daniel, is Daniel, and we're going to talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're in captivity in Babylon. Not probably where they would have chose to be. If I could be anywhere in the world, it's probably not going to be in captivity in Babylon, possibly parents not there, all alone. But here they are, trying to live for God. Verse number 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Not very good place to live for God, but he purposed in his heart that he was going to live for God. Daniel chapter 3 and verse number 16, and here is the setting, the chapter where these three Hebrew boys are thrown in the fiery furnace. They stood for God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. These two settings here seem like very chaotic situations that these boys find themselves in. But they chose to stand for God. I want to preach for just a little while tonight from this subject, revival in chaos. Revival in chaos. Let's pray and ask God to meet with us tonight. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your word tonight, Jesus. Oh, let your Holy Ghost move in this place, God. We need your anointing. We need your power. We want your glory to come in this place, God. You see the needs of every person here tonight, God. Oh, in Jesus' name, do a work. Hallelujah. We give you all praise, glory, and honor tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Revival in chaos. I was in Chicago area preaching last Sunday, and Monday we were in Chicago. Received a phone call and had to kind of make some decisions. And I left Chicago Monday and drove to Olathe, Kansas area with my wife and son, and dropped my wife off at our trailer Tuesday morning, dropped her off at the trailer. And my 22-year-old son and I we unloaded the car and just kept on going. and started our way up to North Dakota to take care of a chaotic situation. And we drove part of the way Tuesday and made it in Wednesday night. And God helped us through the situation. God was working. And I left my son there. He had to stay and work. We have a family business back there that my brother runs. And my son stayed there with the car. And Friday afternoon, I was back on a one-way flight, flying back to Kansas City. So a very chaotic week. And I got on the plane, and I knew I was going to be preaching quite a few times this next week. And I was on the second leg of the flight. And I don't know about you, but for me, when I get on a plane, I like to talk to the person next to me. I know we live in 2018 and the era of you just get in your own little world and don't talk to nobody, put in your earbuds and just zone out. I know that's the world we live in, but if possible, I like to converse with the person next to me. For one, you've got a captive audience. You can tell them your story. You can tell them. I mean, I was with a football player last year. We were flying back from Arizona, and I got to give him the whole truth on the flight. It's a captive audience. And so I was on the second leg of the flight, and it had been chaotic, and I had been away from my wife for about 3 days. Now, we're evangelists, so we live like in a little trailer, like we're together 24/7. So for us to be apart for 2 days, it was a long time. And when I finally got on that flight, I'm like, I'm going home to my baby. And so the second leg of the flight, I get in my seat and I realize I got two empty seats next to me. And I see a couple coming down the aisle, and I could tell they were talking and animated. And I realized they're coming into my row. And they begin to talk to me and saying hello, very, very nice, very kind. And I thought, oh, I'll probably get to talk to this man and this lady. And they sat down next to me and again, just very animated, talking very loud. And then I realized, oh, they're drunk. That's why they're so just want to talk and everything. So I put my earbuds in. And the flight took off. And I mean, it was nonsense next to me. I mean, you could tell, you know, they weren't sure exactly what was going on in the world and couldn't figure out what time zone they were in and just stupidity. And then we were on a big flight, and I began to look around. Everybody's got their own personal televisions on, and, you know, all that's designed to grab your attention. And I'm just sitting there, and I see, I mean, some kind of crazy party stuff going on over here. And over here, there was some kind of murder thing going on over here. And I finally closed my eyes, and I knew I was thinking about preaching. I'm like, I'm just going to have to zone everything out. And I begin to just pray as we were flying there. Chaos going all around me. A chaotic week. And I began to pray, and I had two messages that came to me. And I know I got friends, pastor friends, that make fun of us evangelists, that we've only got like 5 or 6 messages that we just preach to, you know, every church we go to. And so I had two of them anyway going in my brain. And I had my eyes closed, and I thought, you know what, there's something more. There's something more that I should be thinking, and I have a list of, you know, my 8 or 10 or whatever, how many ever I got there in my phone. And I thought, I'm just want to open my phone. And I opened my phone, and my first little note of where my messages were was these words, revival and chaos. And I looked at it, and I thought, I've never preached that message before. And I kind of clicked on it to open up, and then I realized about, it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, and my family, my son and daughter-in-law and my son, all of us were together. It doesn't happen very often, but we'd been able to come together in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, and we were all up in a cabin up in the mountains together. And I mean, it was like way up in the mountains. Like, you get in your car, and I was like, is that the road we're supposed to go up? I mean, it was like it was straight up. And but it was way up in the mountains, and it overlooked all of Pigeon Forge. Beautiful, beautiful setting once you could get up there. And it was early one morning, and the sun was rising, and no one else was up, and I was out on the porch of our cabin, and I was praying. And I was thinking about how peaceful and just praying. It was just beautiful, our cabin, the setting. But I could see all the lights of the city. It was still a little dark. And as I looked at all the lights of the city and I was praying, God just gave me a message. And he said, there's a whole lot of chaos down there. It may be peace right here, but there's chaos in the world out there. I really want to preach to us tonight about revival in chaos. There was drunk passengers next to me, goofiness, craziness going on the airplane around me, but God gave me a message to preach this week, amen, about revival in chaos. I don't think I have to remind us tonight that we live in a world, it seems like on a daily basis, that more crazy things are happening all around us every day. In the city, the lights of the city, there's chaos in our world today. I was just reading about where I was just up in Chicago area preaching. Just on a typical weekend, there may be 60 to 70 people shot in a weekend. That's just a normal weekend in Chicago. One of the articles said 66 people shot this weekend and not one arrest. It's a chaotic world that we live in. As I read down, it said one weekend, it was like 38 or 40 people shot this weekend in Chicago. It was a good weekend. That's the world that we live in tonight. But can I tell us, we can have revival in chaos. Hallelujah. It's time to have revival. I don't subscribe to the theory that, oh, I wouldn't want to raise kids in this generation. Oh, our world's getting worse and worse. Can I tell us, this is our time tonight? I just want to say to you tonight, I'm thankful, hallelujah, that I get to live for God in this chaotic time. Can I tell us, there's an apostolic church that's going to shine more than it's ever shone before. Hallelujah. I was praying for my children. You can be seated. I was praying for my two boys, my daughter-in-law. And I was thinking about the world that they are living in and the immorality, the pornography, the ungodliness that it's at our fingertips. It's everywhere we go. And I was praying, God, keep them pure. God, keep them safe in this world. And I thought of this scripture text as I was praying in Daniel chapter 1. Daniel in Babylon. And if we're not careful, we can get the idea of, oh, nobody's had it as tough as we do today. And I know, some of you can probably concur, probably all of us could say tonight, I can say I have never seen it this bad in my lifetime. But you know what? If you just look in history, said there's some people of God that have went through some harder things than we're going through right now. There was ungodliness in Babylon. There was perverseness in Babylon. But here is Daniel. He's in the palace in Babylon. Who knows what kind of ungodliness that he had access to? Nobody looking over his shoulder. He could have done anything that he wanted to. But Daniel said, I'm going to purpose in my heart, hallelujah, that I'm not going to defile myself. Can I tell you tonight, in 2018, God's looking for an apostolic church that says, I don't care what happens out there. I don't care how ungodly. There's some teenagers, hallelujah. I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to live for God. This is our time tonight. Hallelujah. This is the greatest time to live for God. We look in the book of Esther, and the story of Esther is told. Her parents, in history says, her parents were probably dead. She's living in a foreign land again, the same setting of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. A young Hebrew girl. There's probably many Hebrew girls around her that looked around and said, oh, everybody else is lowering their standard. I guess I may as well just lower my standard. I can't really live for God like this in Babylon. I'll just kind of halfway live for God. I don't believe that's what Esther did. Esther said, I'm going to live for God, for the God of my mama. I'm going to live for the God of my daddy. Hallelujah. In 2018, young men, young ladies, it's no time to be ashamed to be apostolic. There's becoming a separation in our world and the truth church. Hallelujah. It's time to stand out. It's time for an Esther to say, I'm going to be a godly young lady, even in Babylon. It may be chaos all around me, but it's my time to shine. God has a plan. God has a purpose for me. And in that chaotic time, be seated. In that chaotic time in the children of Israel, Esther is there, and what happens? It's chaos. It's going to be the destruction of all of the Jews. But there's one Hebrew young lady, amen, that's standing for God, that's pure, that's righteous. Esther chapter 4 and verse number 14, the question is asked of Esther, who knoweth whither thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Thank God you didn't lower your standard, Esther. Thank God you stood, because God had you strategically placed in a chaotic time to stand and save all of your people. This is the greatest time to live for God. Oh, I'm not crying. Oh, I don't know about if I can live for God in 2018. Oh, I thank God. I thank God I get to stand for Him. I get to live for Him. I know there's ungodliness out there. Oh, but thank God for a church. Revival in chaos. We live in a world today of chaos. Reading recently about the opioid epidemic that's going on. It's of epidemic proportions. Reading about a story in the state of Ohio, and was talking about how many overdoses that this coroner's office was dealing with. And they said that years ago, they had rented, I think it was after 9/11, the article said that they had rented refrigerated storage units for, in case of a mass killing, a situation where they had an emergency. But here they are now, years later, they're using those same refrigerated storage units to house all the bodies that are waiting to be autopsied because there's so many drug overdoses. It's a world that's in crisis. Anxiety at all-time high. My wife and I were in the airport a few months ago, and we just had a flight delay, and it was a long flight delay, but at this point, it wasn't really all that long. We got people that don't know how to handle anything. I look over, and I mean, our flight is delayed. That happens just about every time you fly. And I look over, and there's a lady, and she was flying with a cat. And she had her little cat. And I mean, she's not over where the people sit waiting on the plane. She's at the ticket counter, like where you check your bags. And she's sitting in the middle of the floor with her legs crossed, just bawling her eyes out because of a flight delay. But that's the world that we live in today. Anxiety, suicide at an all-time high. Oh, it's a world in crisis. It's a world in chaos. But I speak against that spirit that is trying to come into the church today. Speak against the spirit of depression, the spirit of suicide. Oh, there may be chaos out there, but thank God for an apostolic church. Thank God for a safe place tonight. This is our greatest time. This is the greatest time to live for God. Hallelujah. There's pressure all around us. Oh, but we need to get a hold of God like we never have before. Hallelujah. I thank God for an apostolic church. There's an answer to anxiety, depression, the sin of this world. I thank God for this message of repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, that gives us power, that gives us power over depression, that gives us power over anxiety, gives us power over the spirit of suicide. You can live for God in 2018. Oh, I'm thankful that I get to live for Him. The book of Romans says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We're living in a world of sin today, but I just believe that there's a little more grace for us. Hallelujah. We're not going to sin because of the perverseness out there, but we're going to live for God. We're going to stand for God. God's just going to give us a little more Holy Ghost. He's going to give us a little more grace. This is the greatest time to live for God. You can be seated. If I needed to repent in 2018, I'd repent tonight. If I needed the Holy Ghost, I'd just go ahead and get the Holy Ghost tonight. I can't live without the Holy Ghost in 2018. In fact, I just need the Holy Ghost every day. Our scripture text we also read in the book of Daniel chapter 3, where these Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And again, I'm sure there's other Hebrew boys that were bowing to the music of the world, that were bowing to the music of Babylon. But there were three Hebrew boys that said, we don't care what everybody else is doing. It seems like there's chaos going on all around us. Some of our friends are bowing down. They're not standing for God. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, this is the greatest time. We may be in Babylon, but this is the greatest time to live for God. Sometimes we focus on the fiery furnace and we like to preach about it. We like to preach about Daniel, and we like to preach about Daniel in the lion's den. But sometimes it's like we forget Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, I'll be real theological tonight, it comes before Daniel chapter 3. And in Daniel chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And he tells all of his astrologers and his wise men, I want you to give me the interpretation of the dream. And he says, if you don't, all of you are going to be cut into pieces. And his astrologers and wise men, they tell King Nebuchadnezzar, they tell him, there's no one on earth that can do that. And Daniel and his buddies in chapter 2, it refers to their Hebrew names, Hananiah, Mishael, Meshach, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But Daniel tells his buddies, we're all going to die also if the king doesn't get the interpretation of this dream. This is Daniel chapter 2. And Daniel, if you read it, he tells Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we need to pray. Can you pray, he tells those three boys, can you pray that God will give me the interpretation of the dream? And if you read it there, those three boys got a hold of God, and God gave Daniel the interpretation of the dream, and their lives were spared. That was Daniel chapter 2. I wonder if something happened in all those boys in Daniel chapter 2 when they realized how powerful and how great and mighty that God was. That came before Daniel chapter 3. That came before Daniel chapter 6 when Daniel's in the lion's den. I just wonder if Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, this may be chaos all around us, but God is hearing our prayers. This is a great time to live for God. Can I tell you, there's a world that needs God tonight, but you're the answer. God will hear the prayers of this apostolic church. God will hear the prayers of a mama. God will hear the prayers of a daddy tonight. Hallelujah. It's a chaotic time. A world of ungodliness. A world of immorality. Oh, but I'm preaching to a church. Is there some young men that it doesn't matter what other young men are doing? It doesn't matter if our young men of the world today, if they're trying to dress like girls and look like girls, there's going to be some young men that say, I don't care what the immorality is of this world. I'm going to be a godly, young, apostolic man that will stand for God. Is there some Esthers? Is there some young ladies in the house of God that say, I don't care what everybody else does. I don't care if there's a world out there that's trying to see how short it can be and show all the flesh that they can. But I'm going to be modest. I'm going to be godly in a world that's ungodly. Is there men, married men and women in a world that devalues the place of a man and a husband and cheapens the value of a lady in our world today? But there's going to be some apostolic married men and ladies that are going to value their marriage. They're going to cherish their marriage. It's more important than anything. Hallelujah. This is our time, church. This is our time. It's time for revival and chaos. Sister Pearson, if you could come. You can be seated for just a few more minutes. You know, if you're having chaos because you're living like the devil and living ungodly, that's not what I'm talking about tonight. But you know what? And your pastor, he already made reference to it. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. When he made that statement, I thought, God's wanting to talk to somebody tonight. I was in the office and I read it right, just a few minutes before your pastor said that. And I was reading in Acts chapter 7 and Acts chapter 8 and the death of Stephen. That seemed like chaos. But what does Romans 8 and 28 say? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Stephen is killed. It's chaos in the church. But read in chapter 8 of Acts. It says Paul, he's killing, breathing out threatenings to the Christians. And it said they were scattered abroad. Think about that. I'm sure there were families that were separated. Well, how can God be in this? But if you read just a couple verses later, said they were scattered everywhere because of persecution. They were living for God. They were paying their tithes. They were living godly. And yet persecution came and they were scattered. But a couple verses later it says, and they preached the word everywhere. What the devil thought, he was bringing persecution. They were here and they were scattered everywhere. And they spread this gospel because they were scattered. It seemed like chaos, but God had a purpose and a plan. I close tonight with Acts chapter 26. Paul is standing before King Agrippa. And again, it's a chaotic time in the church. People that are standing for God are being persecuted, killed. Paul, as he stands before King Agrippa, he doesn't know what's going to happen to his life. If you read the last part of chapter 26, you'll find out that Paul is in bonds. He references his bonds. He doesn't reference them at the beginning of the chapter, but when he begins to give his testimony to King Agrippa, he's in bonds. My leg's in bonds. My hand is chained to some soldier. That seems like a chaotic time, doesn't it? But how does the Apostle Paul begin his testimony as he stands before King Agrippa? He makes this statement, and I believe it's verse number 2. I think myself happy. I just want you to know, King Agrippa, this may not look good. And I believe Paul had a smile on his face when he told him. I just want you to know, I think myself happy. You know what Paul was doing? It doesn't, Pastor Worth, it doesn't say that Paul was happy. He said, I think myself happy. He said, you know, Paul must have been struggling with some things, but he's like, you know what? This, I wish I were somewhere else, but I just want to let you know, King, I'm going to make this a happy time. I'm going to think myself happy. Revival and chaos. Let's stand tonight. You know what Paul was saying? This is the greatest time to live for God. Oh, church, it's ungodliness. Oh, we could tell. I know I told a couple stories. We could tell story after story of how perverse this world is today and getting more and more so every day. But this is our time. This is our time. Paul keeps on giving his testimony to King Agrippa. And he's telling how what God did for him, how he had persecuted the Christians, but how God had struck him down on the road to Damascus and God had changed his life. But something in Paul's testimony, right in the middle of giving his testimony in chapter 26, caused Festus to say with a loud voice, "Paul, you've gone mad." Read other versions. It says that Festus said to Paul, "You are insane, Paul." I believe that Festus said that to Paul. Somehow, the Apostle Paul, as he's given his testimony in bonds, he must have been animated. He must have been excited. I just wonder if he was jumping up and down with those in chains and in bonds, saying, "Oh, I think myself happy. I'm so happy. This is my time, King Agrippa." It was chaos. And in that scripture setting, he doesn't convert King Agrippa. But it says that almost, Paul, thou hast persuaded me to be a Christian. But you can read in the epistles and you'll read where Paul, when he greets, he says, "Salute those, they salute you from Caesar's household." I just wonder, as Paul's given his testimony, maybe he didn't persuade King Agrippa, but I wonder if there were other people around that they heard Paul's testimony. How can this man be happy in this situation? And they were converted because of a madman that was excited to live for God in the middle of chaos. Oh, God has a plan and a purpose in 2018. Does somebody want to be used for God in the middle of chaos? Oh, God has a purpose. Oh, I'm thankful, God, that I get to live for you in 2018. I know there's ungodliness. Oh, but what a time that we can stand for God. Oh, these altars are open tonight. I want to be everything that you want me to be, God. I want to be used by you. Oh, let's come tonight. Does a young man say, "I can stand for God in 2018. I'm going to stand against the immorality that's in the world. God's going to have a Daniel. God's going to have a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." Oh, let's come close tonight. Oh, let's be everything that God wants us to be in 2018.